Open your King James Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 14 for study number 150 today, please. This 15-minute audio Bible study commentary is titled 1 Timothy Study 150 and the Grace. Our text verse is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, give us divine holy wisdom today. May you touch our tongue to speak, our mind to comprehend, and our heart, Lord, to speak forth the words that you'd have us to say. Lord, I pray that we might be able to help and strengthen and encourage some soul today to keep on keeping on, to lift up and exalt and magnify and lift the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, today that they might be encouraged in a way that they might be a real witness and have a real testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Direct the message to the hearts of the people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This 15-minute audio Bible study commentary will be study number 150 on the first chapter of 1 Timothy, and it will be on verse number 14. We will title this lesson today, And the Grace. We have a previous lesson titled Grace by itself, which is study number 11. Now, this lesson will be more specific on the word grace. This will be our first study on the 14th verse of this first chapter of 1 Timothy as well. This verse only has one long statement and ends with a period, and therefore it stands alone and is not a continuation of the previous verses, but it is a continuation of the subject matter of verse 13. Now, this verse also has many precious truths and special words that I'm sure will bless your heart as we study its contents. We trust that the Lord will enrich your heart as He speaks through the Holy Ghost concerning these words. These studies have blessed and strengthened my heart as we studied them down through the past months. Remember, Paul used words, and these words were inspired by the Holy Ghost, and each word is significant. God has put words in the Bible just for us to study and not just to take up space. Each word is there for some reason and some purpose, so we must allow the Holy Ghost to show us the reason and the meaning of these words. The Holy Ghost is the author of the Bible or the Word of God, so we must allow the author to teach us of the mind of God through His Word. These words are the Word of God. And since the Holy Spirit is God, therefore He can reveal what He means from these words. We've been studying this first chapter for almost a year now, and it's been a blessing to my heart of the things God has shown us. We want to look at this chapter 1 in a little more detail in this lesson, maybe as a summary thus far. Chapter 1 only has 20 verses. And we're currently starting a study on verse 14. We'll give you a breakdown of these verses in this first chapter. First, I'll say this, there are only 6 chapters in this book, or this letter, or this epistle of 1 Timothy. There are 20 verses, as I said a while ago, in this first chapter. There are 432 words in these 20 verses of this first chapter. The longest verse of this first chapter is verse 9, which has 38 words, and the shortest verse is verse number 6, which has only 11 words. Out of these 20 verses, there are only 10 full sentences according to the punctuation. Verse 1 and 2 contains the first sentence. Verse 3 and 4 contains the second sentence. Verse 5, 6, and 7 contains the third sentence. Verse 8, verse 9, 10, and 11 contains the fourth sentence. Verse 12 and 13 contains the fifth sentence. Now, verse 14, which is our text verse, contains the sixth sentence. Verse 15 contains the seventh sentence. Verse 16 contains the eighth sentence. Verse 17 contains the ninth sentence. Verse 18, 19, and 20 contains the tenth sentence. Some of these verses stand by themselves, and some of these verses are a continuation of the previous verses. Amen. Now, you're probably asking about the importance of this information I'm just giving you. And what does this do as an application of this scripture? The fact is, if you or I had given 432 words, they would not have been or would be of as much importance as these 432 words from God. These are not man's words, by the way, or words from some great theologian as such, but these are divine words. They are holy words. These are powerful words. These are inspired words from a holy God. These are words that are spoken from the mouth of God by the Holy Ghost and penned down into the Bible, revealing the mind and will of God. What I'm saying is that these 20 verses are the words of God, and they demand our attention to the highest degree. God allowed these words to be placed where they are and arranged them in such order through the translators. We must look at all these words and see all we can see without twisting, without warping, without changing the meaning of what God wants us to see. We usually look at the number of statements that are found in each verse as we start our studies on these verses. There's only one statement in verse 14 according to the punctuation. This verse has a lot of information in it that we need to see and apply to our lives. We will now look at this verse in some detail. The first word of this verse is the word and. The word and is a conjunction, and it joins the thought of the last verse to the current verse. Paul is continuing his thought from verse 13 in this verse 14. In verse 13, Paul tells us that he was a persecutor, a blasphemer, and that he was an injurious person. He also tells us why he did what he did. He did it ignorantly in unbelief. Another thing Paul tells us in verse 13 is that he obtained mercy from God and was redeemed and forgiven. Now, in this verse 14, Paul continues his thought of that and says it was by the grace of the Lord he received this forgiveness. That's what this lesson is all about. None of us can say too much about the grace of God. Grace is a free gift of God, and it is essential to our salvation and the keeping of our soul. In this verse 14, we find the reason for forgiveness. We find the source of forgiveness. We find the measure of this reason for forgiveness. We find the evidence of this reason for forgiveness. And we find the power of this forgiveness. First, the reason of this forgiveness is found in the first three words of verse 14. And they read, and the grace. Now, God forgive Paul of his persecution of the saints and the church, of his blasphemy of the work of God, and the injury he did to the cause of Christ by his grace. The grace of God is the only thing that will wipe away all our sins and present us as one not having any iniquity at all. This fact, by the grace of God, is called justification. Justification is a biblical term that makes us sinners as if we had never sinned. The act of justification is produced by three things. We're justified by grace is seen in Romans chapter 3:24, where God says, being justified freely by his grace, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, we're justified, secondly, by faith, as we see in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. God says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then, thirdly, we're justified by his blood. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, God says, much more than being justified or being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In verse 14 of this first chapter, we find that Paul tells us the reason he's changed and a saved man is simply because of the grace of God. Hallelujah. That's true. Second, Paul tells us of the source of this forgiveness. He tells us that it is by grace that he is saved, and then he gives us the source of this grace. We find this source in the next three words of in this verse, of our Lord, it says. The word Lord means master, and Paul lets us know that Jesus Christ is his Lord. Jesus has full control of Paul from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot. The source of the grace of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now the third thing we want to look at is we find this verse 14 in it, the measure of this grace. The measure of grace is seen in the next three words, was exceeding abundant, in this verse 14. Paul describes this grace as being exceeding abundant. In other words, this grace has no limit and it has no bounds. I say praise God. Thank God for his grace. It's sufficient enough to save all sinners who will repent, and it will forgive the worst of sins to anybody and everybody that has ever committed any. Amen. Now, the grace of God can reach farther out than any mind can imagine and forgive the most heinous sin that any man or woman could commit. Think of the worst sin that you could or even think of, and apply the exceeding grace of God, and you'll have a forgiven creature that is completely changed and given a brand new life in Christ. The word abundant means plentiful and ample. There is no soul that can not be saved by the grace of God, and there is no need that the grace of God can't meet for the child of God. Praise God for his marvelous grace that will never diminish and will never fail to deliver. Fourth, we find the evidence of this grace in the words, with faith and love, in verse number 14. Paul is aware of how he has received this grace, and he sees the evidence of it in his life. First, he sees the love that God had for him while he was a persecutor, while he was a blasphemer and an injurious person. Second, he also sees the love that God had for him in that condition and even saved him by his grace. He did love Paul. He did not have to, though. Amen. For Paul has proven to, by the changed life, God's proven that love God gave to him. Now, Paul knew that he did not deserve the grace of God because of his good deeds and works that he had done. He did not have anything worthy of salvation. Neither do you, or neither do I. Paul saw the demonstration of God's love for him and what God had done for him. His life was real and he was changed. And it was a known fact to Paul because he, like you and I, had a first-hand experience with the grace of God. Hallelujah. Paul also not only saw and experienced the love of God, but he now knew what it was to believe in and on the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a time he did not have any faith in Christ, but now you could not change his mind as to who Christ was or what Christ had done for him. Paul even knew that the faith that he now possessed in his heart to believe in Jesus was given to him by Jesus. He had no doubt as to the faith that he possessed. He describes it in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now liveth in the flesh, or live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Fifth, Paul gives us the power of this grace in verse 14 with the words, which is in Christ Jesus. There's no greater power than the power of Christ. There's no greater hope than the hope in Christ. Throughout the writings of Paul in all his 14 books of the New Testament, he magnified the power of the resurrected Christ. He was changed by the grace of God and kept by the grace of God. Paul had put all his trust in Christ Jesus, and had no time for anything or anyone else. The word grace is mentioned 159 times in the entire Bible, in the Old Testament and the New. Paul uses the word grace 100 times or so in his letters alone. Paul was big on grace, and Paul was big in his ministry because of this grace. He was a preacher of grace to the Jews, to the Gentiles, and to the church, which are the three entities of the Bible. All people and races will fit into one of these entities. Thank God for His grace. Through the eternal ages, we will shout and praise God for the grace of God that has been bestowed upon us. We will magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ forever for what He has done for us. When we get our new body like unto the Son of God, we'll lift and exalt the Lord Jesus forever and ever. God bless you, my friend. Amen and amen.